The scripture reading this evening is from Psalms 18, 1 through 6. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I am take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from mine enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
Many of us have heard people use the expression, I want to give a shout out. If you're under 30 years old, you've grown up with it being acceptable and a way to express thanks or gratitude in a public way by saying, I want to give a shout out to this person or to that person. If you're over 30 years old, you probably are more familiar with shouting stains out of your clothes or something like that. And if you're over 30, if you're one of us who are over 30, you might be uncomfortable saying something like, I want to give a shout out to God. But really, that's what we've been doing all day. We have been publicly expressing our thanks and gratitude to God. Hopefully, when you think about what God has done for you, it makes you want to shout. I'm going to look at a different kind of loud voice tonight. I'm going to look at voices who cry out, and I want you to think back to a time that you've cried out in your life. There's lots of things that can make us cry out. I put that up there because some of us will wince even if we just think about hitting our thumb with a hammer. When we actually do it, when we have that kind of pain, we will cry out. Hopefully we'll cry out something like, ouch, but that would cause us to cry out. Sometimes being frightened or surprised, even if someone just plays a prank on us, will cause us to cry out. Some people are screamers, and you know who they are, and they scream at almost anything, but that kind of thing might cause you to cry out loud. Sometimes the way people drive make us cry out. And I'll leave that for each one of you to decide if you're that kind of person or not. But there is also the kind of crying out that we do when we're in despair, when we're in a hopeless situation. Sometimes our crying out in that situation is silent. Sometimes not everyone around us will hear that, but our soul is crying out in despair. Tonight, I want to look at instances in Scripture where people and things cry out. In most cases, in many cases, they're going to be crying out to God. Sometimes they're going to be crying out in praise, but not usually. But I just want to kind of work our way through the Bible, and there are lots of instances of this. We're not going to see each one. But some of the ones that I've picked out where we can see people crying out, people or things crying out. The first instance is when God is talking to Cain about his brother. If you remember, Cain was jealous because God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And even after God talked to Cain and warned him about his sin and his anger, Cain still lashed out and killed his brother Abel. And when God approaches him to ask him about Abel, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10, the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Now, Abel is dead. Abel doesn't care anymore. Abel's waiting for the resurrection. So why was his blood crying out to God? God wasn't hearing Abel's cry. God was hearing the cry of his blood. And Abel's blood was crying out for justice. And this is symbolic of the idea, the concept that God is not able to ignore sin. Sometimes we commit a sin and we hide it, or we hide the evidence. We think nobody will find out. Sometimes we may even forget about it because we've put it away and put it aside and hidden it, and we may even forget about it. But God cannot ignore sin. Because God is a just God, He hears those sins. Even though we've put them away and forgotten about them, God hears them and God is aware of them until there is a price paid in penalty for that sin. Because justice is required and payment is required for each sin. And that is because God is a just God, but it's also because God is a compassionate God. We read in Exodus chapter 22 when God is giving the law. This is part of the law that he was giving. 22 through 27 of Exodus 22, the law reads, "You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will burn and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate." And so God hears the cries. God is aware of the sins that are committed, one, because he's a just God and he can't ignore them, and two, because he's a compassionate God. And he is on the side of those who have been sinned against, and we'll see examples of that later on this evening. But God hears those kinds of things, and so Abel's blood cried to him from the ground, because God is a just and a compassionate God. Another early instance in the scriptures that we find this is when Israel was in slavery. In Exodus chapter 2, we read that during those many days, the king of Egypt died and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And note here that the word groaning is used almost as an equal with crying out. We don't always think of groaning as being loud and shouting. Sometimes it's more of an inward thing. But both are heard by God. And the people of Israel were groaning and crying out for help because they were in slavery. They were in a helpless situation. They had no control over what was going on, and they cried out to their God, who heard them. Another instance is in James. In chapter 5 and verse 4 of James, he writes, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." So again, someone had cheated these people. God heard their cries, and he heard the cries of the wages that were being held back. And if you think about it, those wages that were crying to him were in the possession of the people who had defrauded them. This kind of gives a new meaning to the idea that money talks. This money was talking to God because it was in the possession of someone who it did not rightfully belong to. So if you cheat someone, God knows. Whether it's the boy that mows your yard or whether it's the IRS, if you hold back anything in that type of manner, God knows, because that money that is in your possession is calling out to God. John's vision in Revelation chapter 6 shows us another example of someone crying out to God. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Maybe Abel really was crying out to God. We remember this is a vision, so I don't know if those people, those souls of those people, were consciously crying out for revenge, or if this is another way of God saying, I hear the cries for justice because justice needs to be done. And of course, he tells them just a little while longer and that justice will be carried out. Another example in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. Paul writes, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. When Adam sinned, all of creation, that perfect creation, that it is very good creation, was corrupted. Disease and death and decay and filth became the way of the world. And so even creation is groaning and crying out to God for justice and for freedom from sin. Now, God has always had a plan to bring about this justice. He wasn't surprised by the need for it. He always had a plan. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah writes about that plan, and he writes about it in a way that we can see his foretelling of it coming about. He writes, Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah is writing to them about a voice that's crying out in the wilderness, God's justice will be done. If you're faithful to God, He will bring about justice to the people who have mistreated you, and He will bring about a way for His mercy to bring about forgiveness of your own sins. And so there was a voice crying out. Isaiah was a voice crying that message out. But we know now, from hindsight and being able to look back and by hearing the Gospels, that John the Baptist, who told us that he was that voice crying out in the wilderness, and what he cried out when he came was to point out the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And so we see, as we read through the Scriptures and we see people crying out for justice and we see the world and sin crying out for justice, we see God bringing about that plan. And that plan culminated in the life and death of Jesus Christ, who John the Baptist pointed out to us. Many people would cry out to Jesus while he lived here on the earth. Some of these people recognized him for who he was. Some of the people maybe didn't realize exactly who he was, but they knew from what he did and how he spoke that there was something special about him. And so that caused those who were helpless and hopeless and in despair to call out to him. In Mark chapter 10, we see as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Someone who recognized that here is a person who may be able to help me in my hopeless, helpless situation. And so he cried out to him. And even when people shushed him and said, don't bother him, he cried out all the more because he was hopeless, but here was hope. And so he cried out for that hope. And we know that Jesus heard his cry and actually healed him of his blindness. Many, many more examples of folks coming to Jesus, traveling long distances to Jesus, crying out to him in the crowd, being heard and helped. And of course, we know that that is multiplied even today. But Luke 19 tells us about when Jesus entered Jerusalem the Sunday before he was going to die. And Luke describes this, describes it in this way. It says, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Rejoicing and praising God in a loud voice. They were crying out, not in despair, not in hopelessness, but because they recognized that this was God sending hope. This was God fulfilling his plan to bring justice. And so they cried out to God with a loud voice, rejoicing and praising God, and crying out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The rest of that story, you'll remember, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Now, they may have wanted them to be rebuked because they didn't want them shouting. Maybe they thought that wasn't appropriate. I think it was more that they wanted to silence them. They didn't want to hear people crying out and calling Jesus King. And so they called on Jesus to rebuke his disciples, and Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And so again, we see creation, those stones that Jesus created, recognized who he was. So the people, Jesus' disciples at that time, recognized who he was, cried out in recognition and proclaiming who he was. And if they had been stopped, if they had been silenced, the stones would have cried out the same thing. Matthew chapter 14, we see Peter in a situation probably not exactly like we have found ourselves in the past, but very, very parallel to situations that we've all found ourselves in the past. Peter answered Jesus. Remember, this is where they had seen Jesus walking to them on the water. They're all in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water, walking past them. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." We see people throughout the scriptures, we see people throughout our lives today, when they come to the point of realization that they are lost. The same kind of feeling, the same kind of emotion if you were sinking in the sea. Hopeless, helpless, And they cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Unfortunately, there were some people who were there when Jesus was alive who may have recognized him for who he was, maybe didn't realize at all who he was, but they wanted him to go away. They didn't want anything to do with him. Their cries were completely different from what we've seen so far. You'll remember what that crowd cried. They cried, crucify him. Crucify him. Kill him. Get him out of here. We don't want anything to do with him. If you read the accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell us that the crowd during Jesus' trial and in front of Pilate and outside of the palace was crying out, crucify him. John tells us in chapter 19 that it was also the chief priests and their officers who were crying out for Jesus' death. A very different kind of crying out. And this wasn't a crying out to the Lord. This was a crying out for what they wanted. And each person may have had a different reason for crying that out. But they did not want anything to do with Jesus. We also see that while Jesus was here, while he was alive on earth, there are several instances of where Jesus cried out. Hebrews chapter 5 says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. We see lots of instances where we're told that Jesus prayed. We see some prayers that we're told word for word what Jesus prayed. We're not necessarily told in those that he cried. But when you think about the prayer that he prayed in the garden, the agony and the anxiety that he prayed, when he actually prayed, Lord, let there be, Father, let there be some other way. You can imagine that he was crying out in those prayers. Maybe not crying out loud, but crying out in his soul. Because we know he suffered, and we know that he did not want to endure that suffering. He was willing to do it, because remember his prayer said, not my will, but thine be done. But it wasn't something that was easy for Jesus to do and for Jesus to experience. So how could this prayer in the garden not have been a prayer of his crying out to God? God heard his prayer. We're told in Hebrews chapter 5 that he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. God heard him. But the answer to his prayer wasn't what he wanted. It was what he knew had to be the answer, because Jesus was willing to follow through with God's will. And so Jesus was crucified. In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew tells us that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think about being in a situation where you know you're dying, you're in great pain, you're suffering, your best friends aren't there. Jesus' mother was there, one of his best friends was there, John was there, several of the women who had followed him around. But two of his three best friends were gone. The other disciples had fled, they weren't at the cross. But God turned his back on Jesus, because God is fulfilling his plan. God is bringing about justice for all the sins of the whole world. And so God had to turn his back on Jesus. God had to say to his son, I hear your prayer, but you have to do this. So think about the significance of Jesus crying out on the cross, why have you forsaken me? And so in not answering Jesus' cry, he was answering the cries of all the sins of all the world and bringing about justice for that. Matthew continues by saying, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Mark tells us also that Jesus cried out a second time as he died. But Luke tells us what that last cry was. In chapter 23 and verse 46, Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. We understand that the death of Jesus was a pivotal moment in history. We understand how important and how horrible it was. But when we read Jesus' words and we read what he cried out, that makes it even more important to us, I believe. It's interesting that if you read John's account of the crucifixion, he doesn't talk about Jesus crying out at all. It's almost like Jesus is having conversations with people. Remember, he tells John, he talks to John and Mary about taking care of each other. He tells the people that he's thirsty. Even his last words, John reports that he just says, tetelestai, it is finished. But he could have cried that out also. And when it was finished, we see that creation has its say also. Remember, the sun, in anticipation, has already been dark for 3 hours. And Matthew tells us when Jesus died, the earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened. And so creation that has been groaning and is still groaning for justice and for freedom from sin, on that day realized a major step had been taken towards that. And so creation cried out. And it was also crying out for the injustice and the sin that the Son of God was dead, and also in anticipation of the carrying out of justice and the freedom that would result. So Jesus, through that suffering and death, offered the one sacrifice that was able to satisfy God's justice and to pay for the sins of the world. And in that sacrifice, he was able to turn all the cries for justice, all the cries of despair, into cries of praise and thanksgiving. So what about us? What happens when we reach a point where circumstances or our own stumbling into sin has caused us to fall into despair and hopelessness? When we cry out to God, when we realize we are helpless and hopeless, and we cry out to God, God hears us. And because he turned his back on Jesus, he is able to not turn his back on us, because his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness are possible to us because of the blood that Jesus shed. In the passage, the last verse of the passage that Rick read to us, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. In Psalm 40 begins with, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. If you've ever been in a place where you've cried out to God, he heard you. And what happens when the lost cry out in despair to God? When someone realizes that they're lost and that their sins have separated them from God, we see, if we read farther on in Psalm chapter 40, we see how he responds to them. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock. Making my steps secure, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. So if we believe the good news that Jesus is the Son of God, if we confess that truth, if we repent, if we're baptized into his name for the forgiveness of our sins, then we no longer have a need to cry out in despair, but we will cry out in praise and thanksgiving. Now, when our life here is over, and we're with the saved in heaven, when we are the saved in heaven, will there be any crying out at that point? Revelation chapter 7 tells more of the vision of John. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Later on in chapter 19, John says, I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. And we can all be in that multitude that cries out praise and thanksgiving to God. If you're crying out to the Lord today, he hears you, and he offers his salvation to you. If there's any need that you have tonight, we invite you to come forward. If you want to cry out in praise to God and thanksgiving to him, if you want to cry out with a need that you have that we can pray for you, if you want to obey God by being baptized and obeying the gospel, anything that you need tonight, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing this song.